We sing those songs and are reminded of who He is. We have to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. We think of the words of the psalmist when he said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. I cannot think of too many scenes upon the face of this earth that would have been greater scenes than to see that babe lying in a manger. Without the cradle, there would never have been a cross. And without the babe in a manger, there would have never been a lamb. A sacrifice for sinners, there would have never been the Son of Man, the one who was to stand in your place and mine at Calvary's cross. We sang thinking about who He was. And who was that babe lying in the manger? According to the Lord Jesus as He walked here in Matthew chapter 16, as He was talking to Peter, He asked a similar question of what men said that He was. In Matthew 16, we read in verse 13, when Jesus came to the borders of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now they answered, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Who does the Holy Spirit say that He was? When we view the scripture revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many scriptures that have reference to Him in the Old Testament. But I'd just like to take a few. I think perhaps the first we have brought before us, before there is any talk about a sacrifice in the Word of God, when sin entered, there was immediately a promised Redeemer. In Genesis 3:15, He said He was going to put enmity between Satan and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise his head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There was the promise of the seed of the woman that was going to one day come and crush the head of the serpent. As we open the inspired Word of God, the blessed hope that every child of God has begins right there in Genesis chapter 3. Now, I know a lot of people today want to write off the first six chapters of Genesis. I want to say to you, beloved, where would we be without Genesis chapter 3 and all the rest that God has given to us? There is the beginning of the hope of the believer. Now, when Genesis 4, Eve receives a man-child, and she could have said, I have received the Jehovah man. In the King James, it says, I have received a man from the Lord. But it could have just as well read, I have received the Jehovah man. When Cain was born, she believed that she was already presented with the seed. I understand it in some of the Jewish Hebrew scriptures that that verse has a direct reference and is called the seed Messiah. When in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman was promised, they had the view already that that was the seed Messiah. And when we view the one who came, according to what God gives us there, He was to be the seed of the woman, the seed Messiah. Now, when Eve thought she had received it of the Lord, you know, immediately the flesh often gets that view. Here was something right here. And it was immediate to her. She saw an immediate promise fulfilled from the Lord. I think we see in Abraham's life perhaps a similar thing. When there was a seed promised to Abraham, and Abraham had not any children of the Lord. He thought that he could have that promise fulfilled as Sarah offers her handmaid to him, and that a child is born, Ishmael. It wasn't too long till he saw that that wasn't the seed that was promised of God at all. That there was the seed that was to be fulfilled through Isaac, and it was through him that the fullness of that seed was to come. Who did God himself say he was? He was to be the seed of the woman. Isaiah speaks to us in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And it says, through Isaiah and the Holy Spirit, that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. A virgin, one who has not known a man, one who had no seed of the human side of it at all, but one who was to receive seed through the Holy Spirit and not through the flesh, that one was to conceive, and she was to bring forth a son, and his name was to be called Emmanuel. We get through Matthew the interpretation of that, and we have viewed to us God with us. That's amazing. Did you see the view of that manger tonight in the film? And did it strike your heart that that tiny little babe was God manifest in the flesh? That would have been an amazing scene. Jeremiah, when he defines God, he said, he fills the heaven and he fills the earth. There is nowhere where God is not. And yet eternal God was willing in time and space to be manifest in the form of a little babe that would one day grow to be a man and would take would be the sacrifice for your sin and mine. You have any doubt that he was God? The Holy Spirit says he was God. The Holy Spirit says his name was to be called Emmanuel, God with us. What sort of character was he to have? Who was he to be? Isaiah could say in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. When you view that little babe in a manger, that's who he was. He was a child born. Oh, he took that human form of a child. But mark it, beloved, he was a son given. He was a son given. I do not believe that he became a son when he was here and came into his ministry. In the Gospel of John is a revelation of the eternal Son of God. In order to be a son given, he would have had to have been a son in existence in the eternal ages past. If you have any question about that, think for a moment. Is God eternal Father? If he is, would he have been a father without a son? He would not. And what we view in that manger in Bethlehem on that day was the eternal Father giving to us in the form of a child his eternal Son manifest in flesh. Wonderful sight. What it must have been for those angels to proclaim it. You see, the prophets declared him, but the angels announced him. My mind wanders sometimes, you know, when I view that blessed scene of shepherds keeping the flock. Maybe some of them were having a conversation just like we heard tonight. They were normal human beings talking about most anything. And as they talked, rumors could have been about the nearness of the coming one. And maybe they mocked him. Maybe there was that measure of doubt that stood with the nation of Israel, unwilling totally to believe. And then the heavens light up. Oh boy, you know, over during the Second World War, I saw the brilliance how the heavens could be some night when you wanted it dark. I remember hearing the enemy airplanes overhead and looking up in that sky and seeing a full moon and seeing the brilliance of the sky. And having flown myself, I knew that that airport runway just stood out like a gleaming streak, a perfect target for them to hit on. I knew the brightness of the night, but even as I saw the night, I remembered the God who put that moon up there and put those stars there that spoke him into being was the same God that saved this boy's soul. And the same God that held me in the palm of his hand. I can remember the brilliance some nights, and I've often thought then how brilliant the sky must have been as it lit up that night with the glory of God manifest in those angels as they declared his presence. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Who did the angels say he was? I love the three things they said he was. A Savior. You know, Matthew says that the angel announced, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I remember how this little boy wanted a Savior. How he wanted somebody to be not only a father to him, but someone who could provide his need and meet with him in the way. You know what a Savior is? Oh, he's not only a deliverer. He's a provider. And when we view the Lord Jesus, his purpose in coming was to deliver us and provide for us. Not only here, now, in time, but for all eternity. For all eternity. And what did he do for this sinner? You know what he did? He delivered him from sin's penalty. And I rejoice in that tonight, that even though I look at a babe in a little manger, I know that the work that he came to do was finished at Calvary. And in the finishing of that work, he became the Savior. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, to deliver me from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and one day, very soon, from sin's presence. I rejoice in that, because I know how fickle this soul of mine is. I know how hopscotch my mind can jump from one thing to another. But I know that one day soon, I will stand in all the perfections of the Son. You know, that's why he chose us, beloved. Paul could tell us that in his divine election, in his predestination, he said that his purpose was that I would be conformed to the image of his Son. That's God's purpose in predestination. That through all eternity, he would have a group of unfailable worshipers. Have you ever looked at it like that? You know what? He could have never had that in Adam. People say sometimes, "Oh, why did God ever give Adam the ability to sin? Why did God ever permit Satan to carry out that temptation? Why? It was through the first man that I died. But it is through the last Adam, the second man from heaven, that I am being made complete and one day will be totally conformed to the image of God's Son. God will have throughout all eternity that which he would have never had had Adam continued in the path of walking with him there. Because Adam would have always had within him the ability to fail. Even as that great created being, Lucifer, who is called the covering cherub or the cherub that covereth, part and parcel of the throne of God. He was that high. And yet in a moment he fell. That will never, never be with any one of us when we're ushered into the presence of God for all eternity. A Savior, which was Christ, the anointed of God. Oh, I'm glad. You know, we sing, and it's a song that struck me as a boy. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. There was a plan drawn up in the ages past that God would give a babe, a child born, and a son given, that one day there might be the manifestation of the love of God at Calvary. That plan was drawn by a perfect God, and that plan was carried out by the perfect eternal Son in a perfect way. But the last title he gave him was Lord. And we're going to get a chance this week to look at him as Lord. But you know, I rejoice again tonight that as we view that one laying there in a manger, he was Savior. He was the anointed of God, the promise to Israel, and he was the Lord. He is Lord today. The shepherds heralded him. You know, when the shepherds went and they saw the sign, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, they couldn't keep it in. They couldn't keep it in. And they went out and they heralded it. Could I challenge our hearts with something tonight? When you find the blessedness and the preciousness of the Lord Jesus, and it fills your being, it permeates your soul, you'll not be able to keep it in. Some people say, "Oh, Ray, I'm not an evangelist. I don't have those abilities. It's so hard for me to speak." You know, I used to say that as a young guy. And one day, the Lord, I was reading the book of Jeremiah. And the Lord said the same thing. Jeremiah said, "Lord, by the lips of a child." He said, "Don't say that." He said, "I've touched your lips." But I want to show you something when the soul of the man is filled. The Lord Jesus said himself, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Beloved, is your heart filled at this season with a fresh looking at the one who is the Christ child? But going beyond the manger and seeing Jesus Christ is Lord. Not only in the sense of salvation of Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But is there the full acknowledgement that he is not only the Savior as Lord, but he purchased this soul. He has every right to order its way. The shepherds couldn't keep it in. I remember that experience when I was a little guy, 12 years old, and I trusted the Lord Jesus as a Savior. I was in a series of gospel meetings in a little chapel back in a place called Silverdale in Wisconsin. It was known then as Silverdale Bible Truth Hall. And you know, in that place I heard a preacher shake me over the flames of hell every night. And I broke out in a sweat every night. I thought everybody in the place was looking at me. But you know, towards at the end of that week, that man began to preach about a heavenly Father who loved us enough to give His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That night, that love touched the little boy's heart. And you know, that preacher used to stand back by the door and he'd say to people, "Did you get saved yet?" Funny thing, I didn't want to lie to him, but I didn't want to talk to him either. And I used to run him a race to the door every night. I always beat him. But the last night, I didn't get up and run. I walked by him, and you know what? He didn't even ask. But my mom was coming to the chapel to meet her little son. She was busy with things. She had a big family. And that night, for some reason or other, she wasn't there. But I saw her about a block away. And you know what? I couldn't keep it in anymore. I yelled at her, "Hey, Mom, I got saved tonight." I remember yet that mother's arms going around her son. How glad she was. Because of the work of one who came as a babe, God manifest in the flesh, and then went to a cross to die for a sinner like this. Blessed God, blessed Savior, blessed Lord, our rejoicing tonight is in Him. The Eternal One. Eternally, we will be worshipers. You know why? Wise men seek Him. I see that on a bumper sticker up north. Tickles my soul. They came and they fell at His feet and they worshipped. I've got to quit. But tomorrow morning, collectively, we have a chance to worship. Tonight you can worship singularly, and I trust we shall. Shall we pray? Father, we do bless Thee this evening for a love like Thine. We thank Thee that Your love is immeasurable. There's no depths that we can fathom it. There's no way we can sound it out, but only to look at Calvary and see it manifest in Your giving Your Son. But the cradle always reminds us of the end of the path that He came to take, a cross and a tomb. But Father, we rejoice that's not the end. You raised Him. You gave Him a name above every name. You exalted Him to Your right hand. We bless Thee for that. We thank Thee tonight for that unspeakable gift of Your dear Son. We bring our thanksgiving in His own precious name. Amen.